And my heart is still being touched by Big Freedia, you know, coming True. Over to that left side of that stage.
That was unexpected, and twerking with Big Freedia, but I'm grateful that it
do
happened.
Do it for the big girls. And I'm like, wait a minute. I had been doing that already, Big Freedia. I had been doing that solidly for the last 4 minutes.
At least it's else. Right. And now
I'm giving
it.
All I got. Like, I am giving you swiggles. I'm giving you circles. I'm giving you all the bounce that I know in my heart.
Yeah.
And just when a bitch get tired. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like questioning, you know, my lung capacity. And shit.
Here come Big Freedia.
Here come Big Freedia. Look at me dead in the eye. And I'm like, y'all gonna do it for the big girls. And you see Listen, in the video,
I got
one
the
of the videos, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm tired. And like, Big Freedia's like, do it for the big girls. I say,
man,
turn around. And I'm glad that video don't look as tired as I was. But also Big Freedia like screaming, do it for the big girl. Yeah. Do it for your big girl. Do it. Like some just also comes over you. So they are at war with each other. It's like your bounce twerk spirit versus like your actual body. Like you ain't moved past 2 miles per hour in solidly 3 months, Jazz. No. Where is this coming from? Now you're going solidly 10. And yeah. I got questions.
Man, yeah. I was so pissed off when she came over there when she did. Because I was just about to quit fucking talking. I'm like, bitch, I am tired. How long is this song? This is my tip to Big Freedia in case you want my feedback. Do it for the big girls at the beginning when the bitch got the most energy.
We got the okay? most energy.
Because this ain't. What I learned from that is, one, twerking is an actual fucking sport.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Shout out to
Tootie.
Hell yeah.
Tootie Toots been climbing the Raptors for yes. years.
I caught a video when I didn't see, I missed a lot because we went up on the roof and when everybody was dancing, because we were trying to get a roof shot, right?
Right.
When everybody was on the stage, like that was that moment. So we saw everybody
wow.
cutting up. Like I saw a split in one corner. I saw well, like
bitch,
just.
I was down to the walk around by the walking yeah, around.
Big Freedia said, I don't want to see no faces. All ass. I knew it was over when that happened.
Damn.
I knew it was over. But I'm I was like, look. People are ready to twerk. If you bring people on stage, they will get it. I promise.
Yes, they did.
And so she was like, I got you.
And my life will be forever changed.
Yes. My yeah. back hurt, but my life has changed. I was at work the next day like, listen, bitch.
I live a whole
You ain't 30
life.
Yet, but you want to be one day. And this hurts. Goddamn.
I should be a vegan or something like
that.
Start lubricating my tendons and shit because I started feeling pieces of my thighs I just didn't know existed.
What part of thigh is this, bitch?
What is that?
Is this the white meat?
Ooh.
I don't know.
I have twerked to the white meat, Asha.
Thank you, Big Freedia, for the opportunity
Thank
to.
You.
I mean, I'm really done. I don't need to twerk again for the rest of my life.
I will be twerking for the rest of my day since Big Freedia had the audacity to encourage my big ass to bounce up and down. I am forever indebted for her for yes. the rest of my day. So, and because I'm indebted, I must, you know, bounce that ass well into my grave. You
what? Okay.
And there better be just a wonderful, beautiful, you know, bouncing of the ass ceremony for my funeral.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I am Marshawn Lynch to the bullshit. I got what I needed, and I'm taking my money and running, bitch, because I'm done. But thank you. This is Amber J. Phillips, the High Priestess of Black Joy.
And this is Jazz, the King of the South.
And you are listening to The Black Joy. Joy mixtape.
Hey, what
do you do? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's really wicked is that all my honeys stick together. Yeah. Fucking up them commas. I'ma have my niggas rich forever. Plug B in Tokyo. You ain't never been there. Have you never tell your business? Nigga, stitch your shorty. Let me tell you. I keep a trap, nigga, straight up out the bando. Get up out them feelings, boy, cause you too much to handle. You fucking with a president, but it ain't a scandal. I like you, nigga, but when we in person, let my hand go. Counting all this money, that's what make my fucking hand hurt. And bitch, you struggling, cause you put in that man first. Sit back and relax, I smoke the dope and let the Zan work. I was trying trying to plan it out, but shit just hit the fan first. Never catch me sweating, niggas, boy, my time is priceless. Only like the picture, now he say he wanna wife me. I'ma come correcting them bitches, stick with the typing. Put a hoe in check and then I nicknamed the Nike. They like how I do that.
Yes! So we have a third voice on the mic this week, y'all. We're so excited to welcome Carisha to the mic.
Hi. And who is Carisha?
Yes. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I can. My name is Carisha Deschamps. I am the birther, creator of Honey Groove.
Yes.
The queer music and art festival in DC that centers queer people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To which Big Freedia performed this year.
We promised.
Headliner. Congratulations.
Yes.
Because that was a memorable, as we just talked about, memorable moment for us. So we're just happy to be in the building.
I just want to say that the moment you invited us to come to Honey Groove, I had an ulterior motive the whole time. Because I was letting everybody know that I was there to shake hands and shake ass. What I didn't say, I was trying to shake hands and shake ass with Big Freedia.
Yeah, specifically.
And I just want to thank you because Big Freedia has been a part of my life for almost a decade now. Mm. And Tootie Toots just is an inspiration, especially mm-hmm. since the Fuse reality television show.
Yes.
And like, to see Big Freedia say on that stage, I'm trying to take this beyond mainstream, like
mm-hmm.
New Orleans. Like, I'm from Jackson, New Orleans,
I'm
like 2.5 hours away.
Uh-huh.
Like, but I got into a bounce when I was good in college. But like, that was dreams.
Yeah.
Like, just some regional stuff that's just taking off. You
yes.
know, like, it's kind of like go-go here in DC, like the Backyard Band and.
Yeah.
Being featured on the Crew remixes, talking about taking this global. Like, our music deserves so much shine because,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, we just talking to each other across the map, like, across the world. So, thank you.
No. Thank y'all for coming and, like, wanting to be down. Like,
yes.
I'm happy to be here. Like, Honey Groove, I feel like, is Black joy, Black queer joy.
Mm-hmm.
Having Big Freedia was something that I talked about even last year. Because, like, I knew Big Freedia was going to pop. And actually, somebody put me on to Big Freedia through a video. She was like, you never heard of Big Freedia? And I was like, no, who's Big Freedia? So she showed me a video. It might have been Excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, this is what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was like, I need this at this is going to be at Honey Groove. So I knew, like, probably year one that's what I wanted.
Word.
And I was like, I just got to get there. Just got to make it possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to even, like, reach out to them, you know, say I have this awesome festival that I want y'all to be a part of, and then they say yes. Like, that in itself, I can't even explain it.
So, Carisha, how do you get some of the finest motherfuckers to assist? In D.C.
Listen.
At a festival, at a music, queer arts music festival.
Everybody at Honey Groove wasn't a solid no in the
What's
whole
the strategy?
Building.
Yeah.
Everyone was literally
who your friends?
You know what?
Who you been hanging out with?
Everyone was dressed.
Yes.
I'm so glad we were.
This
message.
Was a Black queer homecoming. Like,
yes,
homecoming
was.
Weekend.
And,
we was
and they showing out.
Man.
And they ready to show out all day.
I personally wore all white. Because I knew what the fuck they
were. I had the florals out, you know? That's just
flower crown.
And I just want to say, like, all the aunties out there who just be rolling to the family picnic solo dolo, but they know they got a girlfriend, you
mm-hmm.
know, was well represented, looking looking dipped.
So many aunties.
Good.
Yes.
You
yes.
know,
it's
when you
my
ask
Saturday,
them,
baby.
And you
I
know,
came in from Maryland.
You know you at the spot. When you ask somebody to take a picture, you know, they already know what's up. They ain't about to just hit you with one. They gonna be like, all right, give me angles. Okay,
yes.
give me smiles. Give
yes.
me serious. Give me toward the sunlight.
Yes.
So
know?
Much love. So much love.
You know? And
everybody
and
was fine as fucking Honey Groove.
And then
amazing.
The talent coming from the stage.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So we talk about Big Freedia.
Yeah.
But all these Chesna's folks who
mess.
Are just your friends. Like,
yeah.
shit. Tell us.
Absolutely.
How did you do it? What?
I don't know. I don't know how the found people found out about it. Like, they just knew. But you know, as
don't you see curves?
Like, I don't know how all these fine motherfuckers showed up, but
they did.
Here's what I did to make sure that the space was prepared and ready.
To accommodate.
Tell us more.
So, I mean, I can't be more thankful, though. It's been like that since year one. Uh-huh. Like, people just show out. Like, last year, Honeygoo was in April, actually. This year was in September because I wanted it to be warm. I always wanted it outside. So last year it snowed on Honey Groove Day.
What?
But people still showed up half dressed. They still showed out.
They said, I was
like they were not playing.
No,
basically, and ready to party all night. They were looking for an after party. We didn't have one last year. Mm. So like people like show up and they know that this is where the final folks are gonna be. Mm. It's only one time a year. So when you show up, you pretty much gotta come correct.
Homecoming like shit.
That's it. And then you're gonna see people that you haven't seen. Like, that's the thing. People were like, yo, I haven't seen so-and-so. And so it was so good to see them. So, like, it's just, like, we put a lot of love into the event. Like, it's honestly been a labor of love for the last, like, 3 years officially. A little bit more, you know, before that with, like, dreaming and talking. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, every festival you can really feel the love in the space, and it is wild how it just transforms a space like that. Like if you go back to Doc 5, it ain't gonna feel the same. It's not gonna feel the same at all. Like we completely flip a space with love, and I think like it was wild even in the beginning. People were coming up to me like maybe 30 minutes after doors open, nobody's really in the space, and they're like, this is so amazing, like thank you for doing this. And I'm like, well, ain't nobody here yet. But they're like
oh, I know so what's amazing. About to happen.
Yeah, they're like, this is so amazing. I think like people are so happy to be like in a space that was created, you know, for queer people, you know, created by queer people. And they know or they can feel like how much care we really put into it, mm-hmm. like how much work we put into it. There isn't really anything that exists like it. Mm-hmm. So it's really unique and special in that way. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
We're beautiful. So grateful you reached out to us to like be even the smallest part about it. Like when I woke up that morning and I saw that you all had tweeted out like one of our pictures from the TED Talk, I was like, wow, like this is so amazing to be a part of something that I know is done with love and through mm-hmm. DC mm-hmm. and with this intentionality on creating space.
Absolutely.
So one of the questions I would like to jump in and ask you is like, are you from DC? What is your relationship with DC? Why Honey Groove and why here?
I was born in DC from the time that I was like an infant basically to 9. I lived in Texas, in Huntsville, Texas, and all I can remember about Texas is like Celebration Station, which is like a Chuck E. Cheese. My neighbor had a pool and a dog that I was afraid of. And so like on my 9th birthday, literally we were moving, we were in a car coming from Texas to Virginia, Kilmarnock, Virginia, which is like the woods, like trees, cornfields, mm-hmm. literally were my neighbors for a while, not people. So that until I was in about, I would say high school is when I really like came back. My mom, was a teacher, but it was hard like out there because it was so rural for her to like find work. So moving up here, obviously like there are more opportunities. There's way more, you know, schools, just jobs in general, because mm-hmm. out in Kilmarnock, it really isn't a whole lot. I lived in like Clinton and Largo, Mitchellville. I went to a different school every year until 11th grade, 11th, 12th grade. I went to Surrattsville and graduated from there. So my upbringing has really been like, you know, kind of choppy, a lot of moving around, a lot of new friends, and kind of preparing myself for like, all right, I'm only going to know these folks for like this year, and then next year it's going to be something new. To like today, where I live in D.C., mm-hmm. Proud to say I own in D.C.,
what?
So a D.C. resident.
Rare!
Yeah, so that's kind of like how I'm rooted in D.C., in and around the area for sure. A lot of family here, so my whole life I've kind of been in and out of D.C., just visiting family. Yeah.
This your home?
This is home.
Right.
This is home.
Right, right, right. So before we keep going, I want to make sure that people, because as we told you in prep, the Black Joy Jubilee loves our guests. And they'll probably want to follow along, kind of tweet you as we go along. So tell us where we can find you on social media.
Honey Groove is at Honey Groove DC.
I know that's right. Direct them to the source.
Yes. Okay? At Honey Groove DC on everything.
Okay.
And then my personal Instagram, I have a Twitter, but I haven't used it in years. So Instagram is Kai Living the Dream.
I know that's right.
Yeah. And then I actually got that from a coworker when I worked at Apple, like straight out of college. And I would come in and be like, "What's up? How you doing?" He'd be like, "Living the dream." Green people. Yes. At Apple.
What inspired Honey Groove? And I'm very interested in how you selected the name. Because I told you, I love the name. Literally, Jasmine and I did a post and we're like, "Call us Honey and Groove."
Yes, love about it. To come through.
So tell us what inspired it.
Going to art events in DC, like pretty much when I got back from school, and enjoying festivals. So like going to like Afropunk, Broccoli City, Trelectro, like when they were baby festivals, mm-hmm. like before Broccoli City even really blew up. And they were at like Yards Park or something, yeah. like over there in the little bullpen. Kind of, and really enjoying those spaces. And then also like going to different shows in the area where like Boom Scat, The Cool Lots, Be Steady will perform, other local artists. Cause I just love live performances. Mm-hmm. And after a while, like going to the club just kind of got bored. Got boring to me.
And they keep playing that fucking Meek Mill song. Like, it's the hottest shit ever. Anyway,
yeah.
I'd much rather be a Honey Groove.
Down like this.
Down like this. Like, we can really.
Doing this.
I don't know. I'm tired. Hate that song now.
Same.
What I don't get it. I'm like, I'm never gonna learn all these words. Like, this nigga builds the beat for a smooth like 3 minutes.
Yes, people, you know what? It's wild because Stadium, the last time I went was I heard it at Stadium and the dancer went off to it.
Yeah. Really?
It's great when it dances. That's the only time I enjoy that song.
Fair.
She did a split from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Good song.
You know, it was good. It was good then. I don't really need to hear it now.
DC nightlife got boring, yeah. as it tends to do.
Yeah, like,
I especially hate that nobody really dances here.
Yeah, and that can be the vibe. So I think and there are a couple of parties where people really do dance, but like, how often do you get to dance and like bust a nasty sweat, like a mean sweat, because you're just dancing and like nobody really cares, because you just had a long week.
Yeah,
that's work. Really, just
that's my stressful. Approach. No matter what these dry DC niggas doing, it because. It's just odd. People, yeah. you can't worry about what other folks are doing in the club, because otherwise you'd be standing there looking silly too. And that's not the intent for the night. I plan on busting a nasty sweat.
Yeah.
Because I am out of my house and that took a lot of energy.
And you know, like, if the DJ is hitting and like the crowd, especially if the crowd is like giving off that energy and everybody's dancing, mm-hmm. That's dope. And that's what we love. That's what I love.
Mm-hmm. So what inspired like Honey Groove?
So at the core, it was definitely going to like different festivals, different art events in the city, seeing like local artists perform. And then there was one year where I actually set aside a budget for just going to concerts. So if it was under $30, then I was gonna go. Like, no questions asked.
Do you feel like you were researching for this, or you just wanted to go? Okay.
I was like, I feel like I was low key catching vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm in a space, you know, today definitely, but even then, like, just taking note of what I liked, mm-hmm. what I didn't really like. And like in that year, I went to some really, really good concerts. Like, 930 Club was hitting. Like, I went to see Mos Def for $30. I went to see Solange. I went to see Alan Stone. Definitely all the local folks too, like The Cool Lots. And any other event where it was like an open mic type of situation too, where there were performances. Just wherever I can get live music. Mm-hmm. So like that all kind of coming together and materializing into like talking to people and asking like, what if there's a space that was like Afropunk or like Broccoli City, but it was like queer. Mm-hmm. Now there are other queer festivals in DC, but there isn't anything that is like Honey Groove or that centers queer artists of color the way that we do. And I think that we definitely, like, even just throwing an idea out there, people were like, damn, yeah, we do need that. And I caught wind from Jay Foster, Yanni Supreme, that there was someone else that I should know. And that was Lee from Maker's Lab.
Yes. I love a Maker's Lab party.
Yeah.
The day party vibe is everything.
Absolutely. My first one was the Beyonce set.
Yes. Party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That party was, yeah.
That's when, like, Lee, Maker's Lab is, like, part of the reason why I fell in love with D.C.
Yeah.
When I was visiting.
I was courting Jasmine to move. I was like, yeah. Bitch, get dressed. Yeah. Going to this. And we literally came in the spot like,
yeah. And I know
they played, like, 7-Eleven times. It was great.
On every top of every hour.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. At the top of every hour. That was it. And people, like, partied every time.
Sweating.
Yes.
Talk about busting a fucking dance move.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and so Lee's lit for sure.
Absolutely.
Maker's Lab.
Yeah.
Lady.
Absolutely. No doubt. And that's where you can bust a mean, nasty sweat. Everybody's busting a mean, nasty sweat.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody cares. You just keep dancing. You keep sweating.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do look off than a motherfucker in the clubs. Just drenched.
Yeah.
And everybody looks great.
Yeah.
We all holding up that little ball.
We all in it together.
Hey, park at 14, you non-dick motherfuckers. But all these niggas want to rub dicks on your booties for some reason. That's dancing for them. Fuck all that. Just know. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. That's yeah, meeting Lee. And then there's also Lisa Gomes, and she, when we met, she was throwing these wine and lesbian friends parties that were like women center, like kind of house parties where everybody bring a bottle of wine, and we just kind of come together, talk. There would be like some light snacks to eat, and in a couple of hours you're just chilling. So she would do that like every month, every other month, something like that. And then I threw the idea by her, and she was like totally down.
Mm-hmm.
We even did like a focus group kind of at her house,
because
she was like that interested.
Wow.
And she was like, you know, let's invite some people, we'll have it here, and like get some feedback from the community on what they would want to see. And then T, we went to school together, and T went to American University and got the master's in arts administration. So like just kind of as a unit, we all kind of work together. And even as my ideas and my vision of Honey Groove have gotten bigger and wilder, they are like, that's what you want to do, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
And also hearing you talk, I just imagine this is how Beyonce imagines her life. Because Harisha is also a Virgo.
Yes.
And just hear just the imagination, as well as I also hear like this subtle, like, detail orientedness.
Yeah.
Like, so, you're talking about going to shows, talking about what I liked about it, what I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I feel like
deltas,
when you say
and pluses.
Yeah.
They, I mean, so when I hear you say that was a great show, like, I hear you also talking about like the execution, the stage directorship, like the lighting was great. Like,
yeah.
I imagine you one of them mugs, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And any event that I go to, like, that is art, art related, like this weekend, Art All Night, like I'm going there, and I'll just kind of be a sponge the whole time, like looking at the different things that they do, like just to draw from that energy, and then like just see what people kind of respond to, what they don't respond to see like what makes sense. And with Honey Groove, I think like one of the things that is the hardest that you don't really think about is like figuring out the run of show when you have all your artists booked, right? Because like everybody in the lineup is dope.
Yeah,
hella
Yeah, dope.
So dope.
So everybody from opener to
and the
headline.
DJ that you had on the inside, this beautiful black woman DJ, literally the thing. So I peeped Homegirl's game when she played Wild Thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Remember this?
Uh-huh.
Jasmine literally hates Bryson Tiller's lyrics in Wild Thoughts. She does not think he deserves to be on the track with Rihanna at all. And we were in there.
Didn't earn it.
And we were in there, and not only did she skip his motherfucking part, she threw the song into the fucking sample. And I was like, slow clap. Yeah. She
as
took
well
that with Drake's song.
And then we went to actual, like, Riri's cousins in the Caribbean, like, their remixes.
Yes.
We didn't even have to think about Bryson.
We didn't even have to engage with him. And I was like, whatever is happening in this space is divine.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. Like, the dancing, and I kind of told you this, too. I went outside from the dancing. I heard Danny singing.
Yeah.
And just blew me away. I listened to Uzi Vert's All My Friends Are Dead on repeat, like, all the time. EXO Tour Life is my shit. And Danny, like, sang the fuck out that song.
Yeah.
Oh, and then went into Bodak Yellow.
Yeah. I mean.
And
like,
then we went somewhere else. I have it in my snaps. I have it documented because I was just amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so you talked about. This is one of the only festivals to highlight and center queer artists of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about, like, what was the inspiration or why is that so important?
Well, then when I was thinking about it, because there was another festival, or there is another festival, but back then, like, we weren't really included. Like, now they're a little bit better about it, I think, because they see, like, it's fucking lit.
You ain't gonna but just know we see
Honey Groove, bitch.
Honey Groove, if you tired of being made invisible by another DC so-called queer festival, come to Honey Groove.
No shade, but because I feel like now, like, have evolved, and Honey Groove has so quickly become such a presence, and has gained so much respect, like, locally.
More abundance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that and people also just kind of see it, like, they see the talent more, whereas, like, it should have been like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, but we always been hip. And, you know what I mean? Everybody, you know, kind of catches on after. So, I mean, but it's all, I definitely appreciate
what they
every
was
opportunity.
I love this answer. And it's so shady. It's great.
So what they had going on.
It's so professional shady.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's
expert
beautiful.
Level. It's so.
Like, I can't wait. To, like, let my petty come down just a little bit so I can get
this.
Yeah,
I thought that festival, good show.
I mean,
no, we're doing here, honey.
Nah, it's
we just
love,
fucking
though.
With
we
you.
Are.
Yeah.
We won't cause any beef.
Nah, ain't no beef.
And it's
abundant.
Because it's all.
As long as my niggas get booked, baby.
And that's it. And that, because I love every time that they get an opportunity to be on stage, like, that's what it's about. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The price go up.
Yeah.
Every time. You know, every time the homies step on the Honey Groove stage, y'all price going up by twice.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, go ahead, book them. Go ahead, and try to, you know, duplicate some best practices. It's all good. Yeah.
I will urge you all also to visit the Honey Groove, honeygroovedc.com, to look up all these artists and find their music.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, I think sometimes when we get very specific about the music that we want to hear, we really have to understand is some of these festivals have really ignored a big population of music.
Yeah.
When I was watching Duran perform, just visually seeing his band of, like, femme men singing back up, he's doing his thing, like, we've never seen anything like that on a Coachella stage. Like, we're in a place where we're starting to see more of the Princess Nokias, maybe. Yeah. SZA claims to be queer. Yeah. You have Young M.A. Yeah. But this was also the vocals. It's not just rap. It's music broadly.
Absolutely.
Where queer folks, queer people of color are making bangers. And we need to pay attention.
Absolutely.
And central to our culture, generally. Like, just so talented. And just recognizing, like, these are folks that are doing it, all of it, from the clothing to the engineering to the whatever, and here they are just gracing your stage.
And it's dope. And back to Duran, like, he's everything. Like, he's actually on tour right now with Erykah Badu, which also speaks to how dope he already is, like, vocally, to back up Badu.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then just to kind of bring, like, what he does. I saw him here at Versus, and he also had another show at Live. And I, like, when I saw him, I was like, I know, I want him. So I try to see every performer that hits the stage, I try to see them live so that I can catch the vibe. And that also helps me figure out, like, where they will fall in the run of show. Like, we put that together.
Yes. So, I want to go on one of these adventures. Just go in here, all this live music.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's just popping, show to show, event
to
event.
So coming up, what did you think you wanted to do? Like, did you see
this? As a kid? No, not exactly. I don't know what I wanted to do when I was a kid. I know I'm living out in Kilmarnock, man. It was trees. So I actually, like, had a keyboard that I would play and kind of teach myself how to play little songs, right? There was nothing to do. Also, no cable. Because cable didn't run out there. You could only have satellite. My dad wasn't trying to pay for that. So we had, like, Fox, ABC, CBS, PBS. That's it. And then internet, that was a definite not. There was no high speed out there. He just got past having dial-up, like, 5 years ago.
AOL disk.
Yes.
First 32 hours free.
Yes. So I would draw a lot as well. So I was, like, kind of artistic as a kid, but I never really knew where that would go. I don't think I really knew what I wanted to do for a really long time. And Honey Groove even just kind of became something, I want to say, like, a thought 5 years ago, 6 years ago, to, like, an actual thing 3 years ago. And I'm 33.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
the year too.
So, yeah,
right.
So, like, you know, when I graduated from college, I don't even think I knew what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I just knew I needed to have a job so I could pay my car note.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I knew that much. I knew I wasn't going to go hungry.
So you're still dreaming, basically.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it evolves. It evolves all the time. And one thing that I'm learning and realizing is that, like, I've had a lot of ideas. Actually, I just remembered my granddad was a chef, and I used to want to have, like, a pastry shop. This is how much I love snacks, y'all. I wanted a whole shop to sell cookies and cupcakes and stuff. And then have poetry, you know, nights and things like that. Like, that's actually what I was talking about when I was, like, in high school, college. So I kind of forgot about that and let that fall to the wayside. But, like, yeah, my granddad, like, definitely awesome. I remember one year, I was, like, in the first or second grade when we were living in Texas. He actually came to visit us from this area and brought, like, a box of cookies that he baked for my class. And, like, that was the kind of man he was. Like, he always did things for the community, always baking, always cooking. He was a chef at the Hyatt in D.C. And I think, I don't want to say that's where my love for food came from, but I definitely have a great appreciation for food.
You have a good connection to it.
So
it feels warm. It feels great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, one of the things that I think is also so critical about this space that you have created, about the space that Lee has created in DC, is from my experience being an organizer in, like, in this movement and really always bringing people, specifically black people, together in order to do something, that sometimes it falls by the wayside that we should also be coming together just because, and to have fun, and to get to know ourselves. So I want to know, do you feel like, and I think it, I don't know if I want to say that, but because we're only coming together with these big purposes, that's also
coming up with policy agendas,
right? Policy agendas,
policy platform,
but also really needing connection, friendship, and love. So those things get mushed together and muddled so much that we forget that doing our work for our community is one thing, and then doing the work of working on ourselves through relationships, working on ourselves through friendships, is a little bit different. And it, sometimes because we aren't able to tell those apart, we either the focus on being better people in relationships to our friends and to our lovers gets fucked up, and then it gets we can sometimes pause the work because of that as well, because we just need to also know when it's time to come together just to chill. And I think that's so important, and I think this space is, do you feel like you built this space because you needed this space, or how do you see it in relation to like your work life, like what does this space mean to you?
This, I have more passion in working on this than I do for my job.
Of course.
Any job that I've held. And I feel like a lot of my life I've kind of moved through it, and I wasn't really in things that I was like super passionate about. So it's really interesting to meet Honey Groove, and like have something that I'm like, I want it to be amazing, I want it to be perfect, and have this vision for it that can constantly evolve and can kind of be what I want it to be, which is also awesome. But then also just learning so much about being an entrepreneur, trying to navigate the space, different spaces, like, and, you know, one of the hardest things I think this year was navigating the DCRA process. With getting permits and figuring out how to navigate talking to the different players.
So where do you find your black queer joy? What brings you the most?
What brings me the most black queer joy? That's a good question. Like, I feel like it's being around, being in spaces that I don't have to organize.
I know that's right.
Where, you know, there are like a ton of like beautiful black queer people, and just being able to take in their energy, and have those different connections and conversations and give hugs, exchange smiles, you know, I think that's the best part. Because like when you move through your day, like, you'll probably see queer people. Like, I work out in Tyson's, and my company is like really white, a little weird. So I really don't see queer people until I get off work. So like after work is kind of where it's like I'm home.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's where I can kind of like really relax and be comfortable, and I don't feel like I'm forcing myself to like send these emails and do these things. So any time that I can spend time with my folks.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what has changed since the origins of Honey Groove?
Well, when we first started, it was tagged as the festival that centers queer women of color, which was awesome. And we do always want to, you know, make sure that everyone feels centered. So we had to kind of rethink that, to where we changed it from queer women of color to queer people of color, because, you know, as one of the organizers are currently transitioning. And the transition began a little while ago, and it was just kind of like, man, you're on the organizing team, and we're talking about queer women of color, like, we're talking about how, you know, Pride doesn't really have spaces that feel like they're inclusive of trans people. Like, maybe they can go to a party, but it doesn't, like, most of them are going to be, like, gay men or lesbian-centric. So it's just kind of like, make sure that there's a space that exists where you feel comfortable. If you are genderqueer, if you're trans, you know, if you identify as lesbian, bi, straight, whatever, that, you know, that you're welcome to the space. But also just know that we're going to always center queer people of color. That's at the core what we will always.
So back your ass up. You can come. You're more than welcome. Just know.
Yes.
That this ain't about you today.
But we're going to dance together.
But we're going to dance.
Yeah.
But, you know, get some consent. Because, you know, me and mines need that. Especially up in here because this is home.
Yes.
And we want to continue going to mind my home.
Yes.
So.
And I think that's one thing that's really dope about Honey Groove. I feel like at Makers Lab parties, people just feel very comfortable and free
right.
to kind of do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel like, ooh, I can't dance right now because they're watching and I don't want them to roll up on me. Or I gotta dance in front of my friend so that my friend kind of blocks it.
Right.
Or I gotta have my friend fake like they're my boo. So, you know, it's not really that kind of space. People are comfortable to twerk.
It seems like whenever we move masculinity out the fucking center, just good things happen. Like, we get so much, not even masculinity, I'll say patriarchy.
Yeah.
And I'm always brought back to like this Toni Morrison quote that we talk about here all the time is, she believes the black experience is a universal experience. Mm-hmm. Like, we can talk very specifically about a black girl and you should be able to see your humanity in her too. In regards to like the bluest eye, and that's finding this kind of space here in DC as an adult really pays homage to. I grew up in a women-centered family. My mom, my grandmother was the matriarch. My mom was a single parent who had, I have two sisters and a niece. Like, I've always been in this abundance of, you know, just not centered on some nigga.
Yeah.
Which to me isn't a bad thing. We usually paint that narrative as like the single mom, woe is us. But I think it gave me a new type of freedom to be and discover who I am just for myself.
So you talked about transitioning the space. So like, what have you learned about making spaces like Honey Groove safer for trans folks?
I know one of the things that we try to be very conscious of is talking to like the security team. That'll be checking IDs, you know, to not make people feel any kind of way, like if they look at an ID and maybe the name on the ID doesn't reflect what they see in front of them and, you know, not causing a scene because of that, kind of like making that a really, really easy process for them. Because and that in itself, you know, that goes a long way, like, period. I think, and just the way that we start that. And then when you're inside the space, I think that there's just so much love inside the space that, like, it's more than likely you're going to get loved on than, or, you know, affirmed. Then kind of put down or made to feel like this space isn't for you. Because it absolutely is. And I loved that I saw like trans women when there was like a break before Big Freedia came on stage, like up there twerking Spotlight on You. And like the crowd like going wild. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
There was a full-ass proposal on the Honey Groove stage. A whole-ass queer-ass proposal. I was like...
Nah, you know what? That... So, the person that I was proposed to was someone that I went to college with.
Oh, wow.
And her partner reached out to me. They had been together for years. And her partner reached out to me a couple of months ago, like, I want to do this on stage.
Oh.
And then she was like, can I get a band? And can I get... And then, like, I was so overwhelmed with, like, planning that I never got back to her on that. And then she followed up with me the day of. She was like, I got the ring. Can we make this happen? I just need 2 minutes. And then I was like, yeah.
All right, niggas, so, don't make your proposal plans around this board. That's one time only. Yeah. Next time ain't gonna be free. Right.
Yeah, nah.
You will act now.
Sponsorship. So what was your, I want to hear this answer from you because I don't think I've ever asked you this before either. What was your first live performance? The first live performance you ever attended in your life.
This festival out in the middle of Virginia where Immature and Soul for Real performed.
Yeah. Immature. I love Immature. It. That's Immature. Awesome. So yeah. What was your first live performance?
Technically, it was this like outdoor festival. And Maya performed.
Maya?
Take Me That's There was a hit.
Take me there. I want to go there. Yeah. With Rock Song? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Maya's from the DMV.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. She still be out here gigging too.
Yep.
Yes. She's on Gold Link's album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the DMV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mine was at the Ohio State Fair, and it was Brandy Sitting on Top of the World tour style.
Nice.
It was amazing. And that's I will never forget, as soon as she hit her mark, they literally turned the lights off on this bitch.
What?
Yes. They're like, concert over. You're over. Like, they turned the lights off.
Man.
It was wild. And then one time I remember I really got into live music performances when I saw it was a Scream tour. And Lil Wayne was an opener for, like, Neo and Chris Brown. Uh-huh. And I remember hating Lil Wayne until that point. And then seeing him perform live, I'm like, oh, that's a superhero.
Yeah.
He's fine. I loved it. It was amazing.
My next concert was only NSYNC. Now, at the time, NSYNK was the banger, Thriller.
Bet that was good.
Yeah, that shit was great. But, you know, just him, like, the act of the...
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's so unfortunate.
So, I want to know, what is your hope for Black futures, given all the amazing... And I will also set this up by saying, y'all... Well, I think one of the things a lot of people listen to are in our Black Joy Jubilee family are people who are pushing themselves or inspiring to do something beyond the limits of basically what white folks told us to do. I think something like Honey Groove is an idea, a dream, that it wasn't really there before that you made into a reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's so powerful regardless of if you want to do a music festival or you want to write a book or you want to get your nursing degree, right? Yeah. So I want to know, given all that, like, what's your hope for Black futures?
Oh, man. You know, I think it's so easy for people to just kind of say, like, it's something you want to do, just go do it. Because sometimes you don't really know where to start, right?
Uh-huh.
And it took me like 2 years to really get started or to get the nerve to start. Super introvert. Like, hate being on the front lines.
And you out here playing at music festivals?
Because I'm in the background.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Artists.
But you're still on this mic.
Yeah, because I have to. Because people need to know, like, who's behind it. They need to know about Honey Group. They need to know.
They do.
More about what it is, why it exists, and why it's important. So I definitely want people, I would say, if you have ideas or if you have things that you want to pursue and you're not even sure what it might be, just start to write it down. Because I also find that when I write things down, it becomes real and then it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a whole wall in my house and I painted it with chalkboard paint. And I just like wrote down what I wanted, like January 1, I wrote down what I wanted for 2017. All the way down from like Honey Groove to like just life, health, travel, job, and what my ideal picture of all those things were.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, so writing things out brings life to it, makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, like, just do it. Don't be afraid. Because that is hard to kind of overcome that sometime. And even in doing Honey Groove, when I had the lineup together, like, I questioned myself throughout the process constantly. Like, is this enough?
Mm.
Like, am I doing enough? Is it big enough? Are people going to... Like, I'm always questioning you know, is it right?
A peek into Beyonce's brain. Like, why am I so blessed?
Why did God give me all this talent? Jesus, help me with the burden of excellence.
And then she finally said, fuck that, I'm great.
I'm awesome. I don't even need Sasha Fierce no more. This is Beyonce, bitch.
I'm sitting on the stage. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yes.
So how does that feed into your dream for Black Futures, your vision?
I just want people to go for it. Mm-hmm. I know that, like, and now it's such a wild time that we're in, like, with Trump, with, like, all the things happening in the world, all of the, like, the weather is, like, just going off.
Just pissed off.
Like, you know, so we have to create our own spaces. We have to create our own happiness sometimes. And especially, like, if you're not happy, like, in your job or you feel like passion is lacking somewhere, like, see where you can kind of create that passion. And that could even mean, like, going out, exploring different things, trying to meet new people. Like, I'm an introvert, so, like, when I go out now, I notice that, like, talking to people, I always meet someone that, like, has a skill or that has knowledge or is someone that I should know. Mm. So, like, it's also just great in just talking to people, learning more about what they do, and just taking a step, a day at a time, a step at a time. And you'll get there. I mean, I wanted Honey Boo to be an outdoor festival year one, but we had to, you know, crawl a little bit before we could walk and run. So started from an Indiegogo campaign to raise $7,000 to, like, the first festival at Blind Wino to where now, you know, we have track record. D.C. government gave us, like, $10,000,
yeah,
which is, like, awesome.
We expect more next year, Muriel.
Yeah.
she's gonna come out. We're gonna get her out.
I know that's right.
So, and I'm already planning, like, an email tour to tell her the impact of Honey Groove, how much money we have paid out to our artists, and just, like, really quick so that people know the impact of Honey Groove. Like, we, like, this year's festival, astronomical in price, but since inception, we paid out over $40,000 to artists. Like, we pay all of our artists.
Queer
ticket sales.
Artists, yeah, of color.
40K? Yeah.
40,000. This year we had over 1,000 people at the festival. About I would say at least half of that 40 has gone to, like, local DC folks. And that's a low estimate. I'm just kind of guessing it might be more.
How many people showed up?
There's over 1,000. Around 1,000. Yes. We don't have exact numbers.
Oh, good.
But, yeah.
Keep telling us these stats.
Yeah. Like,
please. No,
and I think that's like, the biggest piece.
So you're a job creator, huh?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Local job creator. Absolutely. Honey Groove.
And so they ain't all just white billionaires.
Huh? It's not. And some, and that's
straight.
And that's what the tickets go to our artists. The tickets go to the production of this festival. And it's really important that people know, like, our impact. Like, even so, the couple that got engaged on stage, they hired one of the artists that perform at their wedding.
Wow.
A gig.
Right.
That's money. The vendors that people went to support, some of the vendors did really, really well. And now they have customers that'll come back. Like, it's such a, and Brandon from Broccoli City, I was talking to him, he was like, festivals are special because they're kind of like a water event. Like, he calls it water because so many things could flow through and happen. Like, it is, and that's what it is.
Because,
like, people can discover new talent. You're buying albums from artists that you just learned about. You're buying goods and services from vendors that you're learning about. You're probably networking in the audience, and you're meeting people. You might find your next bae. Might find your next bae for that night. Like, there are a lot of things.
Whatever you want,
that can happen at Honey Groove, and then, like, the word is going to continue to grow, to travel. People came from New York, from Philly, from California, from Atlanta, from Florida, to come to Honey Groove. So, like, and we're only in year three. We don't have major sponsors giving us a shit ton
of
money.
But you will.
But this is our impact already.
Yeah.
Right.
Without even having that. Yeah. So that's right. What people are supporting. You
so
know what I mean?
Pay black queer artists.
Hell
make
yeah.
Spaces. Create opportunities to yeah. pay black queer artists.
Water events, baby.
Water. Yeah.
So tell us again where we can find you online.
HoneyGrooveDC.com is the website. At HoneyGrooveDC. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you want to follow me. Personally, my
you're like, if you want to follow, you want to see my hair pics,
my Instagram,
my kick game.
Y'all want to see Music Festival Bay.
Yes, Honey Groove Bay, okay?
It's, Honey Groove Bay.
You know niggas are like, ooh. Ooh, I can't wait to
what
see
what you
this
do
Instagram.
After Honey Groove.
Right.
Man. I was cleaning up. It was like one. I was still like putting chairs away. T was like, yo, Kyle, we can do this in the morning. I was like, yo, I got energy now.
No.
So I'm like putting stuff together. There was the after party. I went to the after party and I just kind of talked to folks. Mm-hmm.
Politicking.
Yeah, just talking to folks.
Still at work, you know?
Still working.
Definitely.
Still working the day after Honey Groove.
Definitely.
Saw y'all. I was tired. I crashed.
Yes, he did come by Black Femme Brunch.
Crashed on Monday. Like, mm-hmm. Monday, I was completely just out of it. I was just, and I think my body, because I was just doing so much and I was holding so
introvert.
Much. My body just kind of like, especially that last month was really hard.
Mm.
And I was able to let my guard down. Mm. And it just, I crashed. I'm still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, it's wild.
Awesome.
Word.
Well, thank you so much for coming by Black Joy headquarters and hitting the Black Joy mixtape, Mike. Listen, I've just been amazed since the second you walked through the Black Femme Brunch. Even our email correspondence has just like been all love.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that we were able to do this. And yeah. I'm looking forward to next year and whatever comes out. Email campaigns be damned. Like, we in the Black Joy Jubilee are here. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's
and,
so good.
You know, I feel like this is a great opportunity for you to, you know, not only just pump up the Honey Groove brand, mm-hmm. but you can really teach these festival folks how to really work with queer, gender non-conforming, like, best practices around this shit.
Right.
Making, like,
yeah.
safer spaces for all folks
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Spaces. Like,
and growing them into the superstar icons that they deserve to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
the talent that hit that stage was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Black people are everywhere. Black queer folks is everywhere. And
I
we
mean.
Gotta start acting like it. Like,
hello?
Like, we go to all the damn festivals, all the joints, all of them. Like,
yeah.
folks is in there. And,
right.
like, there just needs to be more of those spaces.
Yeah.
And Honey Groove, we need spaces like Honey Groove to push those spaces to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Like, there's benefit. And, like, yeah, $40,000
to artists.
And y'all ain't got
businesses.
No...
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing.
That money come out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, y'all, you don't want to miss the next Honey Groove.
You don't.
You don't want to make that mistake, buddy.
I know I'm not.
Shit. My back still hurt, but you know what? I'm grateful. Even the after party was lit as fuck.
Just,
I'm here for all
I
of
knew it was love when I was like, oh, y'all calling for twerkers? Let me get on up there. You
Clappers
know,
to the front,
solo.
Bitch. Okay.
Yeah. I've heard my name.
Call me Clapper for the evening. Fuck all the rest. Goddamn, I got me a drink, a snack. I'm ready.
And a snack.
And a snack. That was so funny. What's your hope for Black Futures?
Black
Jasmine?
People in the future is a queer ass concept.
Man.
Because, yeah, like, there's.
Futures. What is your hope for Black Futures?
That's all in your face. My hope for Black Futures is that we have more fun spaces that allows all Black people to be included, respected, mm-hmm. upheld with dignity, mm-hmm. upheld in power, upheld in love, and just pure unadulterated just joy, and not have that joy be stifled because your ID don't match what you look like right now, mm-hmm. or because you may have had too much to drink, like you are held just in love and in safety. So I think that's my hope for Black Future.
I love it. I think my hope for Black Futures is exactly the same. More courageous spaces for us created by us. Mm-hmm. Because as we're seeing in the media, even when we crack these ceilings to get into the places that have been made by white people, like Jemele Hill or even the Monroe with L'Oreal, we are kicked out for being who we are. So my hope for Black Futures is us to not worry about it not having been there before, but being courageous enough to create it anyway.
Bam.
Yeah. Flat out.
And just keep going.
Keep. Fuck all this shit. You don't have to wait on anybody. You can create the spaces that you need.
And yes. Sometimes it takes a little time. Be patient. It does. With yourself.
Don't let anybody rush
Talk
you.
Talk to people.
Go Observe. Research. Go see all the live performances you want to see.
Fun.
Do all that shit. It's all a process. Be forgiving of yourself and just create it.
If you want to bake cakes, go to all the bakeries in the damn tri-state area.
Taste that shit.
And just taste that shit.
That vanilla don't taste like yours.
I know that.
Them cakes don't look like your cakes.
Sure don't.
They weren't made by you.
Nope.
So you create them cakes.
Yeah.
Create your own motherfucking cake.
Sure do.
So yeah, I love it. This is, yeah, it's so much. We need to get more specific when we're talking about buying Black, y'all. Like, this is very specific and very, yeah, it's just everything.
Just saying, it's just beautiful to do it in community. It doesn't
right.
have to be isolated. Like, you're talking about your partners, putting on your partners and creating more opportunities mm-hmm. with and for your partners. Like,
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this. This is so good. Jasmine, where can they find you online?
Y'all can find me at Jazz on Your Mind on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter.
Yep. And I'm just Amber J. Phillips on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you follow the Black Joy Mixtape, just Black Joy Mixtape on Instagram and Twitter. Hit up our website. Book us for your school events at theblackjoymixtape.com.
And don't forget to hit up the PayPal if you got a little change on it. If you
Blessings.
Enjoy the show, you feel inspired, hit us paypal.me/blackjoy. Where can they pay you, Kyresha?
The next Honey Groove Festival when tickets come out.
Yeah.
A lot of tickets.
Go ahead and mark your calendars.
Come out.
Bounce it open.
We already planned it for 2018.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it takes like a year to pull it together. Try to figure that out now.
Living
so
in
get
the
ready.
Future right now.
Get ready.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
Abundance.
We're gonna be outside again.
Yes.
Yes. So get your outfits. Start curating your outfits now.
Yes. Bring that energy. This is Amber J. Phillips, the High Priestess of Black Joy.
And this is Jazz, the King of the South.
And you just listened to the Black Joy Mixtape.
Hey, what do you do?
And get the best of me. Living like it's no tomorrow. Fly out somewhere overseas. She gon' get the rest of you, little dummy. You can't flex on me. Spend this paper, then say thank you, baby. But I gotta.